When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bubba Jenkins.
Yo, what's up?
Bellator star, wrestling national champion, father, loyal husband.
Philosopher,
good Christian. I want to thank our sponsors, D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher. It's a lifestyle firm dedicated to making your life better. Today's world is full of difficulty. Trust me, why not make your life easier? D-Cypher is a company designed to cover a wide range of issues, all with the goal of making life painless. They specialize in life coaching, mental coaching, negotiations, personal advising, even business consulting. All services designed to help you maximize your full potential. So their life coaching, for example, they take a no-bullshit approach to coaching. They will advise and help you reach your goals. All coaching is done by phone rather than in person, allowing clients the ability to reach them at any time. They can help you deal with complicated issues, advise you, help you meet your goals, and may even help, and they'll even help you talk through difficult situations. They have coached celebrities, MMA fighters, porn stars, boxers, and many more. They want to bring that same experience to you. Let D-Cypher help you reach your full potential today. Go to dcypher.com, di/cypher.com, and book a coach today. And use the code DODGEBALL for 10% off all services. Also, tip a fighter. Fighters are so underpaid, it is disgusting, okay? These guys and women go out there every single weekend and put on a show so we could be entertained. Okay, it's the greatest sport in the world. We should pay these athletes like the champions they are. Well, you know what? It's a long, really complicated thing. Well, Bubba Jenkins came up with a way to do it where tip a fighter. We can tip the fighters, okay? It's easy. You could do it by your phone. Throw them $10, $20, $100. Waiters are tipped. Bartenders are tipped. Cab drivers are tipped. Let's tip fighters. Go to tipafighter.com. Fighters, you're already in the octagon, okay? Talk to some of these Invicta fighters. See how happy they are, okay? Because they got paid. Because the fans liked them. And the fans wanted to throw them money. So go to tipafighter.com. Also, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. The best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else in between. Their past signings have included Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage, Big Nog, Hoist Gracie, Marlies Conan, and more. AIASE.com. Talk to Sean. He is a great guy. Sponsors fighters. So, that is our sponsors. How are you, Bubba Jenkins? What's
I'm
going
good,
on?
I'm good, man. I'm getting skinny, feeling strong, feeling real conditioned.
How's the weight cut going?
The weight cut's going good, man. I don't have too many problems right now. When we started, I was muscular, so... You know, we're just bringing down some of the water.
And, you were kind of like Blubber Jenkins at one point.
I've never been Blubber Jenkins, except for like, you know, first days on Earth when I was a big baby. But nah, man, it's going good. I'm feeling really ready. This dude's in trouble.
I could tell that you're getting meaner. You could just sense that, like, yeah. You know, like a couple months ago,
you in your face because you have this lovely frosty, smoothie, shiny red thing across the table from me. So
yeah.
You know, that's something that...
Have you noticed you get... Because even when I was, like, wrestled in college, and I was going from 150 to 34, by the time I was at, like, 38, 39, you bumped into me, I was like...
I was on.
I was like, what the fuck's your problem?
No, now, I have privates with kids where I wrestle, you know, and show them some things, and I usually cut it down around, you know, 2-3 weeks out, because they do something wrong, I'm ready to snap their necks, you know, something we've been working on for the last 7-8 private sessions, and then they do it wrong on, you know, I'm just like, you know, so, you know, I got to cut those out and, you know, just let them know, hey, I'm about to start fighting. The weight's coming low. So is my patience and my personality. So let's
How are you on your wife? Are you tough to be around?
Sometimes, Sometimes, you know, I try to do a better job now. When we first started dating, I was real angry, you know, but it's getting better. You got to learn how to deal with the people. She doesn't do the things that she used to do. You know, she don't come in the room with, you know, half a gallon of ice cold water while I'm sitting there with cotton mouth anymore. You know, stuff like that where she's learning that how I am with when I'm cutting weight.
So you got to make 45. Mm-hmm. Right now you're
46.
46. Now you're 55.
See, 45.
Right now you're 10.
Fighters don't talk about
that. Fighters don't talk about it. Okay.
Fighters don't talk about their weight.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Have you thought about going 55, or the guy's too big there?
I think I'm a betweener. Yeah, I think about later down my career I'll go 55. You know,
okay.
To have kind of like two careers and kind of get, you know, different names and different opponents.
Because you won the Nationals at 57, right?
Yeah, 157. So, you know, but I'm like in between. I'm a big 45 pounder, but I'm a small 55 pounder. So, you know, you always want to have, you know.
Yeah, you always have that. Right. Now, last night you tweeted, the plans in my head almost feel like headaches. I'm not looking to win.
Nope.
... I'm looking to humiliate, demoralize, and dominate. An upset. Yeah. Will you explain this?
Yeah, man. I was just seeing the fight. I've got guys in my camp that are, you know, portraying Mr. Parsons, and you know, I just have so many plans and holes for him to fall into that, you know, he's just not ready for it.
Do you ever have too many plans? Like, because I know that you're such a good wrestler. I hear your striking is legit. Your last fight, you looked like fucking Muhammad Ali. But have you ever, like, sometimes have two where you're like, oh shit, it's like you have too many ideas.
Yeah, no, I've had that before, but not for this fight. This fight's real simple. It's you know, we're not going to make all these erratic changes and, you know, do all this, you know, two coaching, you know.
Right.
I want to say it's a different word, but it's just like just doing too much. You know, we're not going to do too much
now. Antonio McGee, is this your what? How many fights now with Antonio McGee have you been with
McKee? And it's McKee. Been this is going to be this is basically my second fight. The first fight with I had kind of with Georgie Caracanya, and I kind of had half of my training camp with them and half, you know, with Empire. So, but this one, I had a full camp with Joe Wilkes, and this would be like my full official.
Okay. Now, did you have management problems at one point?
Not problems. We just had a disagreement in the way things were being run, and, you know, I'd be on a TV fight, you know, having mass audience and make, you know, $200 on sponsoring.
Okay.
And the whole time it's like, oh, you gotta wait.
Are you looking for sponsors
TV
now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So sponsors out there, if you want to sponsor Bubba Jenkins and be on TV on Spike Television, how do they reach you?
You can hit me on Twitter. You can hit me on Instagram, Facebook. You know, I'm very easy to reach. I'm not one of those you know, out there fighters where it's like, oh, I see you everywhere, I see you on TV, but you know, no one can talk to you. You know,
and you're doing it yourself. You'll negotiate with people themselves, so you don't have to go through an agent or a manager. You go with Bubba.
Yeah.
Okay, you hit him up. You'll get to talk to a celebrity. Okay, and deal, and you'll be able to talk to Bubba
right to
about contracts and stuff. So
absolutely.
You guys, okay, listen. So people out there, and the good, and it's Bellator. You could put like porn stuff on your right.
I have it, but I mean, you know, the price is right. You know,
so if somebody put like if they want to put like let's say they put like gaysextoys.com, okay, would you put that on your ass?
No, I would not.
Really?
I would not put
okay
gay
what if sex someone said I'll give you $500,000 to put gaysextoys.com on your ass, would you do it?
Man, I'd have to talk to my wife about it.
Really?
Yeah, I really would.
For half a million?
For half a million. I'm not gonna sell my soul.
She's gonna say
money.
Hell yeah. She's gonna say, get that money, let's pay for our kids' college.
Yeah, if that's what she says, then yeah, you know, but I'm not one of those guys that sell my soul for what's out there. You know
okay.
what I mean? I have morals.
All right. Okay.
There's things called morality, ethics, things like that. You know, I'm a Christian.
What's wrong with gay sex toys, man?
I'm a Christian, but I got gay sex toys on my ass.
Nothing wrong with gay sex. Look, the gay people, they need to have sex, and sex toys are fun.
I don't got no quarrel with you people.
I had one of the worst sex toy stories. This girl, I hooked up with this girl who was like...
Was it a gay sex toy?
No, well, kind of. She was a reality TV star, right? She's hot.
Yeah.
Let's just say she was on Survivor. I won't say what season or which one. So we were hooking up, doing all kinds of fun stuff. So one night she's like, "Hey, I got some. I'm gonna put this vibrating condom on you." So I'm like, all right, you know, fuck it. Vibrating
condom.
That
doesn't sound bad at all.
No, no, no. And it was attached to like a remote type thing, right? Oh, and then she was going to sit on my dick and then kind of use it on her. But I was like, all right, this is all good. Like, all right.
But you just got to stay hard the whole time.
I was like, sure, you know, whatever. It's more fun for you. But then like a couple hours later, I was thinking that like, she didn't unwrap that vibrating thing from a new sex, like from a box. Like that was used before. Like, and then I was like, hey, did you actually use that on someone else? Like, why? I'm like, oh, Jesus. So somebody else had used that before and I put it on my,
That's a bad story.
Bad sex. I don't even know why I tell that to everybody, yeah. But fuck it. Right. Yeah. So, anyway, I've been doing good. We started shooting my television show.
Oh yeah.
It's been, we shot like 2 days so far. It's been, okay. You know, I had to move into the new apartment to shoot that. So we did like a 3-hour interview. Nice. And then we did another show.
You just moved?
Yeah, I just moved.
Yeah.
And then we shot this morning. Me and my dog, Miles, and my cat were all in the shots. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And hopefully they're going to shoot tomorrow. I'm headlining the Improv. I don't know if you saw my name on the marquee up here.
Yeah.
Now, somebody from Bellator contacted me. They were going to film you. Did they talk to you?
No, being that I got a big fight coming up and it's, you know, one of the featured fights, I figured, you know, they'll do some kind of in-focus thing and, you know, get the commercials ready and stuff like
but
that.
But they want to come to the podcast and film you. They haven't talked about that?
No.
Because they're like, hey, we want to film Bubba on Thursday. I thought you were coming with a team today.
Today?
Yeah.
You thought it was today? No. I mean, I've had one Spike TV interview last week.
I'll show you. I will show you and get you the numbers and everything.
Yeah, but they're probably going to contact me soon. They're not. You know, they're not just going to show up like, "Hey, we're here, bro." No.
But they're good. It's actually the PR guy. And next week they're getting us. What's his name is going to be MVP Michael Venom Page.
Nice.
Did you see his last fight?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought that it's about time to get some.
It's a, right.
Some tough
it's,
opponent.
These guys look like they have no idea they're fighting Michael Venom Page. Like they're like, yeah. Like they didn't study tape on this guy or anything. I know it's hard to get a guy to emulate what he's going to do. Probably almost impossible.
I mean, you'd have to get a breakdancer in the cage with you and you know, put some gloves on him and hope that he knows how to strike.
Can you breakdance, by the way?
I mean, I'm black, so I got rhythm. I can do a pretty good wave, but. No, I'm not like, you know.
You're not a break dancer?
I'm not the robot.
I always find it funny when some of these fighters fight, like that guy Jutko last week on UFC. He fights his fight, looks like he's a little tired. At the end of the fight, he breaks out in like a worm and a spinning wheel kick and everything. And I'm like, well, where was that at?
Well,
yeah, I'd be so pissed if I was coaching wrestling, and then the kid wins and then starts doing all that shit. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like we had a kid one time. I hated this ref. We had a kid one time. The kid Justin actually he won, and then he holds up the numbers 4-2. That was his record.
Uh-huh.
And then so he puts up 4-2, and then the ref grabs him, and then like thought he was holding up gang signs. I'm like, the kid's in seventh grade. He's not in a gang.
Yeah.
But first of all, 4-2. You should be that proud of being
definitely
4-2
not.
Anyway.
Definitely not. I would not be holding up a 4-2 record. That's for sure.
I had a show last night in San Diego. It was great, man. San Diego. The most beautiful women in the world live in San Diego.
Yeah.
Guys, like, if you're thinking about where to live and you want to live, like if you're in Iowa listening to this, or you're in Kentucky, or you're in Missouri, or one of these places, which is not, I'm not knocking these places, but let's say you're just sick of growing up there. Move to San Diego. Do yourself a favor. Take a lower paying job. You'll get paid in pussy.
The visuals are working for you, huh?
A San Diego 6 is like a Missouri 10. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get shit on by, you know, Ben Askren and his family. Okay, but I'm telling you, a San Diego, it's ridiculous. I'm on stage and these girls are like talking the whole time, but it was fun show. And then something about nipples came up and the girl's like, I have nice nipples. I'm like, prove it. She flashes me. It was a 22-year-old nipple. I haven't seen 22-year-old nipples in a while.
Was she right or was she wrong?
She had nice nipples. They were natural boobs. It was, which is actually, I haven't seen natural boobs in a while now.
Living in LA, that's a little bit hard.
Yes, but they were nice. They were nice. And yeah. I had a date. I'm dating this. We're not official yet, but I got this one girl.
Is it the same one that you had a crash? When you had that
crash. No. This is one where
she's already out.
This
2 weeks in, she's gone.
She was a party chick. She kept calling me up. I'm drunk with my friend. I'm drunk. It's fun and all, but I gotta be. So, you know, someone keeps texting me that they're drunk and they want me to come over. I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've had that. I've had the I'm wasted come over. And once in a while, sure. But you start getting
you
it
You know
every,
what? I'm drunk too. I don't think I might get an Uber over there.
I get it. It's fun. It's cool. But anyways, this other girl, actually, we went on like two dates so far. She seems like she's a hot chick. And then I met the girl before that, a black girl. Uh-huh.
I'm trying some different things, huh?
Well, I didn't know she was black. You couldn't tell by the pictures. Like, she looked like she was tan.
You didn't zoom in. You didn't swipe.
Here, I'll show you a picture. Tell me. I mean, she looks like she could.
Where are you finding these girls?
Tinder, actually. Uh-huh. But this girl was. She's really a very pretty girl. Cool.
Man, all the Tindering you doing, we should be getting sponsored by them.
Oh, but I know. This girl's like 6'2", black girl.
That's already a bad start.
Here, tell me. I'll show you a picture. Now, would you have known that this girl was 100% black? I thought she was mixed. She looks like, right?
Oh, wow. No, she doesn't look black.
Right? She's you can look at different pictures. If you keep swiping, you could see.
I don't know how to work Tinder, bro.
Just swipe your thumb to the left.
Yeah. She says she's 100% black.
Yeah.
She's lying.
She's lying? Really?
I mean, she's so light that she's the lightest black girl I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, but she said...
She looks mixed with something.
She said she dates mostly white guys because she said black guys are afraid to approach her or something. Or I don't. But she says a lot of problems. The problem was that white guys try to date her because, like, it's the first time they've dated a black girl.
Exotic.
Get
She's
it off
different.
The bucket list or something. And, and you know, I've hooked up with a couple. I've had sex with a couple black girls in my life. Yeah. Some like Dominican.
Mm-hmm. That's not black, bro.
Is that really?
That's not black.
That's not black?
No, that is... watered down black.
Watered down black.
In a sense, not like, oh, they're less than black. I'm saying in the sense that, yeah, they're black, but they're from an area of water. They're not like black.
Okay, so but I've had like a half black, half Puerto Rican. Does that count as black?
Yeah. I give you that. I'll slide. We can slide on that.
Oh, we can slide
if
that.
If they got anything more than 50% black, then
yeah,
you know, you're black, especially in today's society.
Right.
You got 2% black in you. You're black. So,
but it was funny though. We were talking about how I was on the black dance team in college, and I was.
You were on the black dance
team. I swear to God, I was on the black dance repertoire. I tried out as a joke, and I actually made the team.
Was you the water boy?
No, not the water boy. Okay, I definitely was the worst dancer of the team.
Okay, I was about to say. But
I won the most dedicated.
I've seen your two-step.
I could do the heel toe better than you.
I doubt it.
I guarantee we will have a heel toe championship
We will have a heel toe periscope championship press conference. Right after this, I doubt you can do the heel toe better than me.
I know I can do it because it was one of our dance moves on the dance team.
All right, no,
I actually won the most dedicated member.
You the one that showed up early and left late?
Yeah.
The most dedicated. If you get any athletes out there, if you get the most dedicated athlete on your team, you're probably a scrub.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like getting most improved player.
Yeah,
because you don't know how bad you were to begin
most
with.
Passionate athlete.
I was a scrub on the black dance team. I will admit it. But during the dance recitals, I was always the tourist.
And where,
you know,
and where was this college?
Binghamton. SUNY Binghamton.
Oh. Is this?
Upstate New York.
New York.
I bet you know my high school, my wrestling coach, Mark Gumbel. You know him?
Mm-hmm.
That was my college wrestling coach.
Okay.
So anyway, I was on the black dance team. But this girl's cool. Her dad was a Hall of Fame golfer.
So it's not the black chick that you're talking about?
No, the black chick. Her dad was a golfer.
Okay.
He's in the black Hall of Fame. I didn't know there was a white Hall of Fame. He's in the black Hall of Fame.
Well, usually us black people, we make up our own thing. You know?
Yeah, why did that gotta be? Why can't it just be a Hall of Fame?
Because it's not played fair.
So this girl's like 6'1", though. She wears a heel. She's like 6'3". The black girl, mm-hmm. which I mean,
pro
it doesn't
golfer
matter.
Daddy.
You know what? I'm not one of those guys though that gets insecure. I could date a taller chick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't get she's Shaq. That might be a little, but still, like.
Yep.
What about you? Have you ever?
I have never dated a taller girl, but you know, I'm a very confident person.
You would, right?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I've hooked up with some volleyball girls in my day. You know, I mean, on my long road of successful smashing, I have. I have been with some taller girls. But just when I'm looking to date someone, I usually, you know, I don't have a problem going, hanging out with people that are taller than me. You know, that's not, I wouldn't mind, you know, showing up to a party with my plus one being taller than me.
But, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But if I'm looking for someone to date and get serious with, then I'm going to look for things that I find that are best fitting for me, you know, and to have a tall girl. And sometimes girls don't like shorter guys.
So. Yeah. That's so. The thing. Girls on Tinder, they'll put like, you know, I'm looking for something real and you know, something genuine, must be 6 foot one or taller. I'm like, well, you know, come on, give me a break. Yeah. Like, or they'll
I mean,
like,
but that's just what they, I mean,
or they'll put not looking.
How is that not looking for something real?
I don't know. But
if you show up and you're 5'9", they can already tell that that ain't going to work for them later.
Oh, come on. Give me a break. Or they'll be like, not looking for a one night stand. They all put that in big caps. Mm-hmm. And then their pictures of them with like deep throating bananas and stuff. I'm like, what is this? Right?
It is today's.
I think women are like, they want to go on Tinder. There's still like a thing of like, people consider girls on Tinder whores or sluts. They don't want to feel like a whore or slut. So they'll put not looking for one night stand so they can feel better for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not for the guy. Okay, because if they're not looking for one night stand, they're not going to give it to you regardless. You know, it's not for the guy. And no guy is going to be like only looking for one night stand. Okay, I mean.
Well, it's also so you don't have that expectation of, okay, you know, if she doesn't put that, it's like, okay, we're going to go out on this date and I'm going to smash afterwards. But it's in the back of your head, if you read that on her profile, that it's like, okay, we're going to go on this date and I might smash it.
Well, it's just so funny that guys are always like, the guys' terms for sex are always so violent. Like, I'm going to smash that, or I'm going to hit
crushing,
that.
Crushing, the Russian
I'm
crushing.
Did you pound that? Mm-hmm. Yo, did you hit that? You know, whereas, I don't know what women's terms are for it, but they're not
sex.
Like, I got,
sex.
This is sex. It's not, I got pounded. Hey, or like, hey, did you give her the D? Like, you're never going to have a girl sit another girl. Did you give him the V?
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the difference between men and women.
Right?
You know, we think masculine. We think, tiger, you know, bear. They think kitty cat.
Well, not always. I mean, this new wave of women now.
Yeah, but they're still not going to say pounded.
They're not going to say, I pounded that dude.
Yeah.
I wish they would. That'd be kind of cool. The girl's like, yo, I'm looking for some D tonight. But then the problem is that
there's some that are, though. There's a lot that are.
The problem is that there's guys that
are
more than willing. Like that friend of ours that we met, from the guy from Arizona who's 118th. Uh-huh. What's that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about? What?
Lester.
Lester was telling me that he knew a guy that had an automatic swiper. Like on Tinder, it swiped right on everybody. Everybody got a swipe. Every girl got a swipe right. Uh-huh. There's never going to have a girl that's going to swipe left on every dude. Mm-hmm. It just shows you that guys will fuck anything, you know, or mm-hmm. you guys are you're too lazy to move your thumb. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how lazy we've become. I don't know. Anyway, so let's talk about MMA for a little bit. Misha Tate says she's thinking about retiring.
Oh, yeah.
Because she feels like she got screwed over by the UFC, and she did. Honestly, I think Dana, one of the best things about Dana is he shoots from the hip. Mm-hmm. He just says whatever's on his mind. That's what you love him. But there are times I think he just says things like, hey, the winner of Tate versus Jessica I gets a title shot. Then Misha wins. And then she's like, let's slow down a little bit and give it to Holly Holm. I could see why Tate would be upset about that. Yeah, and Tate...
I think people are now starting to consider retirement because more than ever, people this year are starting to be like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. Because in the beginning, it's this exciting, you know, I think I'm going to fight. After I win this fight, I'm going to fight the next person in this amount of time and that amount of time. And when you start to realize you have no control over it, you know, you're pretty much stuck in any organization with them controlling when you make your next check.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Misha Tate is that she doesn't want to be like a gatekeeper. That's her whole thing is, and I could see why not. I mean, as an athlete, the last thing you want to be is the stepping stone to the title. You know, and by the way, Marina Shafir just walked in.
What's up, everybody?
How are you, Marina?
I've had better days.
Now, you are you sick? What's going on?
Can't really disclose what's wrong with me yet because I haven't gotten results yet, but... my lymph nodes, like, all along my groin and my pelvic area are, like, so inflamed, like, I can't even wear jeans. Like, any kind of pressure on them is, like, immobilizing. Wait. So I've been wearing, like, skirts and sweatpants that are tied like Urkel style.
You look beautiful.
Yeah, I'm on some very heavy painkillers.
This is great. What a show. We have a girl who's on tons of painkillers, a guy who's sucking weight, who's just in the most...
You're cutting weight right now?
Yeah. Fight time.
It's fights in 2 weeks.
Oh, shit. Where are you at right now? Oh, my God. Look at Joe cheekbones.
Yeah, you see my cheekbones.
Cheek one and cheek two.
There they are. Those abs poke out, too. They're there. They eventually show up.
Give me some.
So what a podcast, guys. We have a girl who's on, like, 19 painkillers and a guy who hasn't eaten in 4 weeks. This is quite a fucking podcast.
This is an MMA podcast, for sure.
No, and it's, like, the worst because, like, my fever was, like, the worst thing. It was, like, up to like 102.7, and then it would be down to like 97, and then the next day it would be back up past 100, and then it'd be back to like every other
day.
So
when you go to the doctor, you're in the hospital?
No, I had to go to urgent care on Monday, and then they had to take some tests, and then I went back again.
What did they say?
I don't know yet. The lab results aren't in, so like I have to wait. Like they just think that
patience,
the body
guys,
is like
patience.
Fighting off of some kind of infection, so I'm on like a whole bunch of antibiotics, a whole bunch of painkillers.
That's gonna kill your lungs. As far as antibiotics, man, when you get on antibiotics, you can't do anything. As far as like conditioning, you just feel sucked out.
No, I haven't done anything physical since last Friday.
Now your boyfriend is in town. Yes. He went to the store just now. Yes. Is he taking care of you?
Yes.
Okay, so
he came in a day early because like I, you know, like. Rhonda's really busy with her camp, and I'm just like in pain. Right.
So nothing physical, you guys. So no sex or anything. You guys just sort of like
use your imagination.
Okay, all right. I will. All right. Wow. All right. Listen. Well, it's good to have you back. Marina is here. We were talking about. So now you went to the wrestling, right?
Yeah, I went to Hell in a Cell on Sunday with Shayna and Jessamyn.
How was that?
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, and like I was feeling shitty, but like not shitty like to stay home. So I was like, "Fuck it, I'll just suck it up." And I pounded like a whole bunch of emergency, and like through the whole show, I was just drinking water. And then the whole fucking show was amazing. Like the four faux horsewomen finally acknowledged us in the crowd as the real horsewoman.
Wait, who are the four? What are you talking about?
Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Paige, and there's one more.
And they're the fake horsewoman?
Yeah, they just stole our gimmicks. So
they stole your gimmick?
They stole our gimmick.
But you kind of stole the Arn Anderson.
Yeah, but he actually gave us, Ric Flair gave us the real approval.
Ric Flair said, you guys could be the horsewoman.
Yeah, not only that, he was in it, he was... There's evidence of him posing in a picture with us, holding up the fours next to all four of us.
Okay, so who was it?
And the only picture that they have with Ric Flair, who is Charlotte's dad, he's only holding a number one and not a four.
But who's Charlotte's dad?
Ric Flair.
Charlotte's dad is Ric Flair. Yeah. I don't know anything about wrestling. Do you know anything about pro wrestling?
No, I know that Ric Flair's son wrestled.
There's only one wrestler I like. That's Roderick Strong. He's the only guy that I like. He's the only guy that I think is cool. Everybody
Sting
else.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. He just seems to.
Have you ever seen him wrestle?
No, but he goes to places that I'd like to go.
Oh, that's cool.
To,
like no, where?
I don't know. Like to the mall.
That's cool.
And, he just seems to be a nice guy. I don't know. I just happen to like that guy. Everyone else, I'm not a fan of. Now, and then also Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I like him.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker were both the main event, and it was really fucking cool to be front row to watch that.
Who won?
Brock did.
Brock won.
Brock won. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. And
did they really? I know. Did they not like each other in real life? Because they almost fought at one of the UFCs. Like after Brock got beat by Kane, he walked by the Undertaker, and they kind of had like a little thing. But was that real or was that fake? Or
was it?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
That's up to you.
No, it's up to you. I mean, you're in the know.
I think pro wrestling is real, so
no, you
I'm
don't.
Just going to... Yeah, I do.
You don't think there's any kind of script involved?
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. That's totally normal. All right. So now listen. what else? Chris Weidman said he... So Daniel Cormier said he's willing to give Jon Jones a rematch. Willing? You have to give him a rematch. He's the champion.
Do you think he's going to have like an entry fight, though?
Jones? I don't think so. No way.
There's no go right for gold.
I think in New York City, they're making.
But who would he fight? Like who's gonna?
Who would Jones fight?
Yeah, you know what I mean. He's already beat everyone leading up to it,
and beating him pretty handedly, aside from Gustafson, who's now lost three in a row.
Right.
So, yeah.
Poor Gus.
I
love Gus.
He beat him twice? He beat Gustafson twice?
No. Jones beat Gus, and then Johnson beat Gus, and then Cormier beat Gus.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, by the way, Rashad Evans has called out Gus. He says they're both on a coming off losses. Maybe he feels like he can't beat the brothers.
I don't know if that's a good fight for him.
For who? For Rashad or Gus?
Rashad.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on the Bader fight?
I think Rashad is done.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. He had one bad fight.
One bad fight.
He came back from 2-year layoff.
I don't know. Personal opinion, I think he's done.
This is not the painkillers talking?
This is not the pain. This is the honesty. If you want honesty, ask me anything you want to fucking know.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. All right. So, who are you dating?
I'm not telling you that.
Oh, come
on.
What happened to the honesty? Now, Bubba?
Yeah.
What do you think about Rashad versus Gustafson?
I think it'd be a good fight. I didn't see Rashad's last fight, but I know the type of person that Rashad is. Obviously, Michigan State Big Ten wrestler, so he's got the toughness there, and he's obviously a legend in the sport and been doing his thing for a long time. So I can't say that he's done. I don't necessarily agree there, but I think that the Gustafson fight is a tough fight for him.
I think that Gustafson seems to have a tough time with like very athletic fighters.
Basically, he can't beat black guys.
I don't know if he can't beat black guys. Well, all of his losses have been to black guys. Phil Davis, John Jones.
He beat Phil.
Phil Davis beat Gustafson.
Did he?
Yeah, Phil Davis beat him with like some kind of modified the Mr. Wonderful like crazy
submission thing.
Yeah,
nice.
He lost to Phil Davis. He lost to Rashad. No, he lost to Phil Davis, DC, John Jones, and Anthony Johnson. All killers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't just take a regular black guy and be like, go up against Gustafson. I think that, these guys are all the top. But, I mean, Evans, I think it's a good fight. People are really shitting on Rashad Evans because of this. But he was a 2-year layoff. He tore all kinds of ligaments. Yeah. He came back, and Ryan Bader won five fights in a row, one against Phil Davis, very close fight, but he got the win. And I think people are overlooking how good Bader is getting.
And he's been good, and he's still good.
An all-American wrestler. Mm-hmm.
He's becoming way more, like, in a striking sense. Well, I don't know if this is going to make sense to you, but way more elastic. Like, he may miss a lot of his combinations, but he finishes every combination. And a lot more aggressive and determined to prove that his striking is getting better. And I think, I completely agree with that statement. I think Ryan Bader is completely overlooked in his progression.
And he's getting fucked right now because technically he should be the next in line for Cormier. If Daniel Cormier says, I want to take a break, he should give up the belt. You can't take a break if you're the champion. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. I understand you're tired. I understand that you're an Olympian, 2-time. I understand everything else that you've went through.
Really? How much do you understand that?
I understand it, okay? I'm not saying that I could ever do it, okay?
I'm watching.
I know, but
and
how
I
much do you
it.
Understand that you're actually like compassionate for it?
I'm very compassionate.
No, but you're like you do the responsible thing and hang up the belt if you're going to take a break.
Yeah, you should do that. You can't do that. You can't just say I'm taking a break now that I got the belt. Ha ha, my belt. Hide it. You guys can't get it. You can't do that. You can't do that in the UFC.
Part of being the champ.
Part of being the champ.
Yeah.
And I think his next fight should be against Ryan Bader, because John Jones. Although it's either be John Jones or Ryan Bader should be his next fight. Who do I think has the best shot of beating him? Anthony Johnson. I think John. After John Jones, I think John Jones, Anthony Johnson, Gustafson fought one hell of a fight. I think Bader probably has the fourth best chance of beating him. However, if we're going to go by rankings, if we're going to go by who deserves it, Ryan Bader. He beat Rashad Evans. He beat Gustafson. I mean, not Gustafson. He beat Phil Davis. He's beating the guys that they're putting in front of him.
Right.
Now, Chris Weidman said he wants a super fight with John Jones. He says that he's just no one in his weight class for him to fight. First of all, he's got to get past Luke Rockhold. That's a tough fight.
Yeah, I can't believe he's on the mic again about somebody else when he hasn't done his first job and fight the guy in front of you now.
Then he's got to fight Jacare, the winner of Jacare Yole. Then if he beats both those guys with ease, which I don't think he will, I think he might win. He has a good shot of winning those fights, but yeah, not with ease.
Yole's going to be tough.
Well, Yole's got to beat Jacare.
That's going to be tough, but if Yole wins, he's a tough matchup.
Who do you like at that win, Jacare or Yole?
I'm going to go with the wrestler. I'm going to go with the Yole.
Yeah. Marina? The wrestler and Yole? But it's the 40-year-old wrestler.
Yeah.
Have you
seen this man?
I have.
Yeah, he's a bad
And I've
dude.
Seen him be out-wrestled by Derek Brunson for 2.5 rounds. Mm-hmm. I saw him be hurt by Tim Kennedy mm-hmm. and not leave his stool, mm-hmm. okay? And I saw him, his last fight, who did he knocked out? So who did he fight his last fight? He won.
He beat somebody pretty tough.
He beat somebody really tough.
It was exciting. I remember watching.
Yeah,
but you're only as good as your last fight.
You're only as good as your last fight. He won his last fight. Who did he fight? It was the Gay Jesus fight.
Gay Jesus?
Afterwards, he said, before Jesus, not for Gay Jesus. But he said, not forget Jesus, but it sounded like Gay Jesus. Who did he beat? Somebody
man, beat. Really misheard that one. Fuck.
So
really misheard that one.
No, it was all over the internets. So Yoel Romero, who is he? I'm looking at it right now. Who did he fight? He fought somebody his last fight. Why is this fucking bothering me?
Can I just ask a random question really?
Sure.
Really quick, though? Do you really need a ladder for the top shelf of that bookshelf?
And it doesn't slide.
And why are we? But people can't see that right now, except for us.
Oh, sorry.
So by you pointing out stuff that no one can see.
While you're doing that, I'm just
they
white
don't cut
noise.
This part
Let
anyway.
Me just be
yeah.
fucked
they
shouldn't cut, up on painkillers.
We don't have to cut this thing, okay? But now we might have to cut this thing. Don't even cut it. Just
no
point
cutting?
Out. Well, no, just
no cutting.
No, just point shit out that no one can see.
Okay,
he beat Lyoto Machida. That's who he beat. Lyoto Machida is who he beat. So Weidman, first of all, if Weidman wants a super fight, it should be against Cormier, not Jones. Cormier is a champion right now. Mm-hmm. So assuming that happens. Second of all.
But really, who believes that?
I believe it.
You believe it because statistically that's what it is. But if he's going to say, I want the super fight, you don't want Cormier. You want Jones.
I think both of them beat him, though. I think Cormier and Jones beat Weidman. I think Weidman, he's just smaller.
Me too. I agree. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that check. He's talking about that check.
Who do you think wins the super fight between Weidman and John Jones or Cormier? A lawnmower? Is that
not I don't know if Weidman.
Between Jones and Weidman?
Yeah, no.
Painkillers, Marina.
I don't think Weidman has a chance.
We're gonna call you PKM, Painkiller Marina.
Yeah, no.
Isn't there PKW? Isn't that wrestling you go see?
No.
What's it called? The underground wrestling.
Totally, it's not that. It's PWG.
PWG. Okay, sorry. Now, Ronda Rousey's mother went off on Coach Edmund. Said every time he sees Coach Edmund, she would say, "I hate you. You're the worst. You're terrible." Thinks he's a terrible coach. Awful human being. Edmund came back and said, "Listen, it's Ronda's mom. I'm not going to make a comment on it. It's the family. I'm staying out of this." Ronda then said, people asked her about all this. She said, look, I fight better when there's chaos around me. I think that's a very dangerous way to fight because, you know, a lot of athletes, when they've had chaos around them, have not, you know, but the girl is undefeated. And Marina, you being sort of in this whole storm in some ways, okay?
Oh, no.
Being
very... I'm on a tropical island on the other side of the world.
Okay.
And this storm is happening in a completely different time.
All right, well, give us your thoughts on this.
Exactly what Rhonda said. It's her business, and she's always known to perform with better when there's crazy pressure and chaos going on in her personal life. And I have been a witness to that more than on both hands. I can count on both hands. Like, ever since she even signed with the UFC, even her first UFC fight, there was crazy shit happening.
Like what?
Just personal shit. Like, I'm not at liberty to say. And I know that let everybody assume whatever they want. I'm telling you right now, she's not going to lose this fight.
Okay.
She is way more motivated to just fucking go in there and crush it. And it forces her to be more focused and keep her eye on the prize that much more.
Is it hard for her though? Like, because for I know
of course
for me,
it's hard
when you have your dad.
Of course, it's
your
hard.
Parent, and-
it's hard. It's not just it's not some random Joe Schmo from the side. It's her mom, but you know, she's not going to talk about it to media, and I'm not going to talk about it to media because first of all, it's not my business. I'm there as her best friend, and as her best friend, I'm going to maintain the fact that I'm really good at keeping secrets and keeping confidential. So there you go.
Bubba, thoughts?
You know, I've seen a lot of athletes perform well under, you know, a lot of stress and derange. I mean, half of athletes got to the place that they are because the road wasn't smooth. You know, I'm one of those guys that perform well under pressure, you know, chaos, you know, we need rent this month type of thing. You know, not necessarily so much in fighting, but just like in the whole scheme of life when there's things that are weighing in the balance that, you know, are very important to you, you know, family member that dies or something along those lines. You know, you gotta go into that athletic mind. Yeah. Go into that diehard competitive mind and find your comfort zone. And a lot of times comfort zone is when that cage is locked. A lot of people think that that's like, you know, the most, you know, that's where it's most scary. But for a lot of us athletes, you know, when that cage is locked, that's our home. That's our bedroom. You know, that's where all the comfortability lies. That's where we know what we're doing. That's where we can control the things that happen. Everything outside of that is you can't control it. You know, your mom's at, you know, ends with your coach and things like that. That kind of focuses you in on the task at hand, especially if it's chaotic on the outside. You think about, you know, when Jameis Winston was going through college and all the stuff that was happening with Jameis Winston, but he still kept winning football games. You know, they were talking about the mindset of Jameis Winston when, you know, he's got, you know, a robbery case or the sexual assault and the rape and this. And I mean, left and right, my man went
also,
like 28 straight games.
Michael Chiesa, perfect example. Didn't he have something going on with his dad?
He had his dad. His dad passed away and he wanted to be a fighter.
Fuck, like that
there were
was
plenty
insane.
Of times. I mean,
and
Kobe, when Kobe was on trial, he was hitting like 55 a game.
Yeah.
There's definitely.
Joe Lauzon is another
but
great
there,
fucking.
But there are also plenty of examples of people who, when chaos happened,
yeah, that's the obvious.
The Tiger Woods,
yeah,
the Mike Tysons, the
yeah, but that was kind of like shit hit the fan moments. Like you don't understand how much sweeping under the rug both of those athletes did mm-hmm. up until that point. And
but there's cases for both, obviously.
Exactly.
You know, Brett Favre played one of the best games of his life the night his dad died. You know, there's
yep.
things
yeah.
like that. That are unexplainable, and then there's obvious reasons why. You know, what was that school? One of the schools, I think a plane crash happened at one of the football schools.
Marshall.
Yeah, and a bunch of their guys died, and then they played a game and they got blown out by like 65 points or something like that. There's those obvious cases where if
yeah.
things aren't going smoothly, the athletes, the fighters, the people who are competing aren't going to do well. But when you look at the history and the totality of who you're talking about, especially like Ronda Rousey, and you know, knowing that this big fight's coming up, that's not something that will derail someone like that.
No.
You know, so
I swear, if there's ever a moment in time where we can actually publicly list all of the bullshit that was like that we had to deal with every single camp, everyone
be a good
in
book.
This. Not only would it be an amazing book, the amount of shit that we had to deal with, everyone, like, no one would believe it.
Right.
No one would believe it. Rhonda always, she does the most media for the UFC out of the UFC. No other UFC athlete does as much media as she does. She never says no.
Well, except for this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, much. Except for the podcast. But anyway, all right. Someone that we are going to talk to right now, John Dodson, one of the elite fighters, is going to 135, just had a baby. Great
some
guy.
Bougie ass.
Let's talk to John Dodson right now. So, John Dodson, congratulations. You just had a baby girl, right?
Yep.
And what is her name?
Well, Delilah.
Delilah. This is your second kid, right?
Yep.
Nice. Now, is that the kid's keeping you up? Well, what's it like being a father?
Oh, she's still, like right now, she's actually starting to sleep throughout the night, but in the beginning, she wasn't sleeping at all. She'd wake up every few hours trying to wake my butt up, see what's going on.
Now, this is the second kid with the girl that I met?
Yeah, Chelsea.
That girl's adorable, by the way. You have a very, very beautiful girl. Now, are you guys married, or is she just a girlfriend, or what's the deal?
Oh, she's living with me. We're working on that whole getting married question.
Nice.
All we got to get all her family so huge that I got to figure out make a proper list of people I can invite to match her and all the stuff's family.
Right. Now, by the way, John Dodson, you just came off a tough loss to Demetrius Johnson. It was a great fight. I was pulling for you, man. I was pulling for you. This guy, he.
I'm pulling for myself.
I think that was the best DJ has ever looked. What was it about his game plan that just that gave you tough times?
Nothing really. Like, I knew he was going to come across forward and just make sure they. He's gonna stay strong. Like, I wish I would have been sitting there. Like, I wish I would have just pushed forward and fought back. If I could have pulled the trigger, that probably would have been so much different than what happened. But since I did it, I lost, and my hat's off, though. They beat me for
especially
the first six times.
Now, I was concerned about you, though. Fight week. You were in Vegas. Then your wife was giving birth. You went home to Albuquerque, like on a Tuesday, and then you went back to Vegas on Thursday. Do you think it was just too much?
No, because actually all that like positive stuff going on throughout the whole 5 week was amazing. Like, it's easier for me to be distracted by the positive on life that go on in my life versus trying to sit there and like kill myself about what's going to happen in the fight. And that's literally what was going on. So, like, that had nothing to do with it. I think you mean in any way, shape, or form about my fight.
What do you think, man? Like, you know, this is Bubba Jenkins here, and you know, I've seen a lot of fighters. I'm a fighter myself, and I just when I see people pause and not want to pull that trigger, when I'm like that in practice, I really can't figure out what it is about that. What do you think it is about not being able to pull the trigger that, you know, it's hard to overcome, or how do you overcome that? Knowing what you're supposed to do, knowing
like a mental set.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even, like, put into words about what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. I just need to be able to kind of go revert back to being a kid. Like, when you're a child, you have no fears about anything. You want more lunch to jump off of a building, and then as you get older, you realize that if you jump off a building, you potentially die. So, like, I just look at it that way. I need to go ahead and not worry about all the fears of what could happen and just go out and go and just do it.
Now that first fight,
I know the full potential of my capability.
I mean, the first fight you almost had him out twice. I mean, you dropped him twice, you hurt him twice, and that was what made that fight so close. It was just was that really frustrating for you, just not being able to get that big punch in?
I got a real good big punch in when he tried to hit me with fly. My timing was a little off. I just couldn't get myself to go do it. I was very frustrated. I wish I could.
Right.
Like, I had one big punch and I sent down the canvas on the third round, and I was a little excited because I actually put another talent mark on to dropping somebody down in 15 minutes. That was not good for me.
Well, I mean, look.
I wish I would have a lot more time and I could finish it.
Well, look, I mean, you're a guy. You've been up, you've been down, you've been up and down. I have no doubt that you're going to get back up. Now, you are going up to 135, right?
Yeah, I'm going up to 135. Be easier for me to go out there, and with this new like weight cutting stuff, IV is kind of a harder thing for me to do because once they go 125, I'm a fat kid. I love my candy and chocolate ice cream and mint chocolate chip sherbets and stuff like that.
But I mean, what are you walking around at?
Right now I'm at 56.
Oh,
but normally I'm supposed to be a few pounds heavier. I've just been trying to make sure I can keep my body in healthy fighting form when I'm willing to go out there and just perform.
156.
I want to be able to, whoever lays on you. Huh?
You're at 156, you said?
Yep.
Wow. Damn. You really, that's like, I can't picture you 156. That's amazing. That's now. Now at 135, you're probably
how you saw me.
Yeah, well, no, when I saw you, I mean, you were
how you ever see me. Oh, for fat weird.
I don't know. You don't look 156 when I see you. You look like you're, I don't know, like a lot smaller than that. Now, now, do you think at 135 you're going to be faster than everybody?
I think I'm going to be faster and stronger than them, though, to tell you the truth. I'll probably hit harder than most of those guys there.
Yeah, I mean, you knocked out TJ.
I knocked out the champion, so that doesn't bother me not one bit. Yeah.
Now TJ seems to really be pissed off that you beat him. Do you have any words for TJ Dillashaw at 135?
I'm coming for that belt.
I knew that was what he was going to say.
Yeah.
He lost to me. That's his own fault.
Yeah.
Like, he should, if he wish he could have pulled that trigger, like, just like he has, like, I wish I would have pulled the trigger. So if TJ wants to fight again, I'll be more willing to do it because I'm going to work my way out to fight whoever's going to be the champion, whether it be him or whoever it may be. It could be even Uriah Faber. I don't even care. I just want to knock out somebody.
Uriah Faber versus John Dodson. I would love to watch that fight.
He got that baby adrenaline rush.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, get him. Now, get them all.
Now, one of your training partners.
I don't got no crazy hairstyle.
Now, one of your training partners, Holly Holm, is fighting Ronda Rousey in 2 weeks. Who do you like in this fight?
Oh, I love Holly in this fight. She knows how to keep her distance, make sure she can pick her shots, and always fight into what she does best and making sure that it turns into a striking game. Ronda's so used to being able to have girls coming at her or her walking them down, and they only know a linear motion. They know how to walk forward or walk backwards, and Holly doesn't know how to go ahead and spin around and twirl and do all the fancy stuff and not to get out there against the cage, and she knows how to move.
Now,
she's never been trapped in the cage, trapped in the boxing fights and those against the ropes or anything, but I'll see Ronda be able to do the same thing by just grabbing her.
Now, Marina is shaking her head. Obviously, Marina might probably biased being Ronda Rousey's best friend and closest friend. Now, what are your thoughts about how Holly's going to beat Ronda Rousey?
There's no...
I think she'll go bigger into deep waters.
I mean, here's the thing is you can have any kind of game, footwork, whatever. She's going to get you. Once that door closes, you can try any fancy footwork. You can try anything. You're going to need a gun to keep Ronda off of you in that cage. And
didn't they say that about Muhammad Ali, and then didn't he get knocked out through?
Yeah, but Ronda's different.
And all the other dudes, even like Mike Tyson coming through, being the most violent heavyweight of all times. And so once he got defeated, then they realized that he was just a human being. Ronda has actually made a defeat too. She did not win Olympic gold. She won Olympic bronze. So she doesn't know what it feels like to lose. So she is still human.
Yeah, she has worked to become undefeated. That is
the best.
No, but she has worked to become undefeated, especially in MMA. And now she has more tools that she has sharpened over the years. And, you know, I hope it's a good fight, but there's no way that Holly's coming out of there. With a win.
I'll get you got to give John, though, this, that Holly Holm is not going to be one of these girls that's just going to run up like these other girls. Like they just, Holly's been in the ring for a long time. She's been a boxing champion, a 9-time champion. She's got a lot of boxing experience. I think Ronda Rousey will win. You're right. But she's not going to be one of these girls that's just going to start flailing and just, you know, with her hands down and chin out. You got to give them that, correct? Marina?
I hope not. I mean, look, I want it to be a good fight. And Ronda is very good at picking the pace and sticking to it and playing the song and having the person dance to their music every time, every single time.
John, this is your girl, man. John, this is your girl, man. This is your teammate.
Holly's going to sit there and do the same thing.
This is not a press conference.
Holly's the one.
This is not a press conference, Adam.
Plenty of time.
Now, have you sparred?
This is not a different type of dance that she never had before, you know?
Now, have you sparred with Holly before?
Yep.
And how does that go?
I hope to get ready for all of her title fights.
Okay.
She's one of the hardest hitters in the gym.
She's one of the hardest hitters in the gym.
Yep.
All right.
She was one of the hardest hitters and one of the hardest workers in the gym. She sits there and works out more than anybody that I've ever met in my entire life.
This is selling the fight right here. I mean, John Dodson's been around. This is a guy that won the Ultimate Fighter. This is one of the best fighters in the world. This is my favorite fighter to watch, is John Dodson.
And I'm a fan.
John motherfucking Dodson.
I was rooting for you.
So
I completely agree with Adam where, you know, if she's going to have a great training partner, I'm glad it's you. but there are no training partners that you can have to get ready for Ronda. It's just not going to happen.
So you don't think she'll ever lose?
I think she's definitely going to retire undefeated for sure.
Dotson?
I beg to differ.
All right.
I mean, there's only one Floyd Mayweather and Rocky Mountain. There's only been a few people who have ever been able to go ahead and retire undefeated, even in boxing.
Bubba, what are your thoughts about this, Bubba?
I like the confidence on both sides, you know, because he's in the camp. He sees every day what Holly was doing. Obviously, you get to see the body of work that Ronda's put in and how to, you know, think of a game plan to manipulate that. You know, oh, we're not going to rush forward. When she rushed, we're going to circle. We're going to do this, you know. So the game planning is there where you can feel confident about the game plan. But on Marina's end, she's her best friend, and she knows, she's known her for a long time. It's deeper than knowing fighting. It's knowing that
she's seen her naked.
Yeah, well, of course that, but it's deeper than just something stupid like seeing her naked.
I'm just saying that you've seen Ronda naked, right?
What does that have to do with fighting at all?
Nothing. I'm just saying you've seen her naked. It's pretty hot.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But it's about like knowing her outside of competing for a championship or competing for a win. It's knowing the mentality of a person who she's known since she was 12, 11 years old.
So here's the thing. I know I don't need to get into this. I don't need to get any arguments into being like trying to convince people that she is going to win. Like I'm very confident in all the training that she has done and all of the challenges she has overcome and has created habits of doing so. And that's it.
I'll tell you what, though. I was at Holly's last fight in San Diego, and I thought that Holly Holm has a lot of people have been very underwhelmed by her UFC so far. The Raquel Pennington was closer than people thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and Raquel knocked her down, too.
Her last fight wasn't the greatest fight. She fought a tough girl, but she didn't look that great. Mm-hmm. I think Holly Holm has the patience and the style to give Ronda problems just because she's going to not... What, you're laughing at me. Why are you laughing?
I'm on painkillers. Don't mind me.
You're laughing at me. I'm with Dotson. I think she's going to give Ronda... I was at her fight. I think she has... Certain people have styles make fights. Yeah. You know, if Ronda Rousey can grab Holly Holm and throw on her head, it's going to be a very short night. But Holly's going to jab. She's going to jab. And she's going to kick. She's got some
killer...
Oh, man.
She's going to jab and she's going to kick. This is going to get so exciting.
Oh, whatever. John, back me up here, John. Back me up.
And hugging people is... So you're saying you'd rather watch two women cuddle and do that? That's like interesting. I can go pay for that on pay-per-view or something. I can watch it out of college dorms.
What's that? Hugging people?
People finish that. One's going to be a technical fighting.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. Okay. I don't even know what that meant, but all right. I like it. Listen, so John,
I guess we're going to have the same conversation in 3 weeks.
I can't wait. John, you're going to come back here after the fight and either you're going to gloat and dance and sing, or you're going to say, you know what, you guys were right.
That's exactly why I love sports.
Yeah.
Cause you have all the freedom to believe in what you want to believe. And that's it.
Look, I'm on Team Rousey.
Are you? Like 2 seconds ago, you were saying you were...
I'm on Team Rousey.
You said 2 seconds ago, you were like, I'm agreeing with Dotson.
No, you're one of my best friends, okay? Close to Ronda's mom.
Pump the brakes.
I'm close to Ronda's mom.
Yeah, okay.
You're not one of my best friends?
Just pump the brakes.
You're not one of my best friends? You told me I was one of your best friends. You said I was top five.
The yearning in his mouth.
All right, fuck this. Oh, we're not friends anymore? All right, fuck that. I'm on fucking Team Holly. You know what? No.
Exactly.
No, I'm not.
Why we might not be best
friends. I'm not on Team Holly.
Because you are so wavered right
now. No, I'm not wavered. Ronda Rousey's mom came to my show, came on the podcast. We had lunch the other day. I'm a fan of Dr. Anne-Marie. I'm a fan of yours, Maria. I'm a fan of yours. I'm a fan of Ronda's cousin. She's come to my show.
Cool.
They're nice people. I'm a fan of Ronda. She's been very sweet to me via text. Okay, so via text. So I'm saying
she has to be nice to you in person.
I've only met her once in person. She was very nice. the one time I met her in person. Okay, but
yeah, you are getting called out on that one.
I'm just saying.
Oh my god.
I'm just saying that John Dotson, I'm saying that Holly will give her the toughest test.
Okay.
I think Ronda will pull it out.
Probably about 30 seconds.
30 seconds, you're saying. Wow, 30 seconds.
Oh, you're saying 30 seconds?
Yes, that's what she said, 30
well,
seconds.
Well, that's longer than Cactus Madonna. If you want to sit there and say toughest, I mean, that's what you wanted, what Misha Tate did.
Yeah, Misha Tate lasted three rounds.
She did?
Yeah.
She did.
All right.
And she lost twice.
And then she lost twice.
I understand what both sides are saying, obviously, because they're in the room and she lives with her. But I was saying, before Holly Holm got into the UFC, and obviously Ronda was on this tear, I was saying if anyone's going to give matchup styles trouble, and if anyone gives Ronda trouble, it would be this type of matchup style. Now, her UFC debuts and things like that leading up to this point hasn't been exactly what I was thinking of when I saw her fight. And whatever promotion she was before this,
yeah.
I saw her fight and I was like, wow, she's really good. And if anyone's going to be able to test Ronda, not beat her, but test her, because Ronda hasn't been tested. You know, there's one thing to think of a game plan to beat her, but it's a whole other thing when she's just smashing people and it's like, I need a test.
Liz Carmouche sort of gave her a test for like a second.
No. Yeah. I mean, she won a position kind of thing.
She hung on,
you know,
for
I mean?
Dear life,
yeah,
until she couldn't.
I'm talking
hang
about
on
a real test where it's like, uh-oh, Ronda's in trouble. Or, you know, okay, she's got to get out of that. She's got, you know, a real test where it's like there's a possibility. And any of her fights, Ronda's fights, she had no possibility of ever losing the fight. You know what I mean? So we're talking about a person that can actually give her a stylistic matchup where it's actually possible test. And I think Holly Holm has the best effort to do that. With her style.
That's all I said. I agree
with her style.
She's very angry, Marina.
I don't give a fuck. Say what you want. Everybody's entitled to their
I just
opinion.
Can't believe you said I was one of your top five friends and now you're taking it back. That hurts.
Well, we're in public now.
that hurts, man. That really
exactly what happened.
That hurts. That really hurts.
You remember the top five that they used to have? Oh, your top five friends on your phone?
Yeah.
You know, you're in my top
Facebook,
five.
I'm on MySpace. Top eight on MySpace.
Well, that was the top eight on MySpace, and then there's like the top five, like the top five people you call.
You are the top five on my MySpace right now.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I appreciate that. She's evil. Sure. She's fucking evil. She's more evil on painkillers than she was fucking sober.
Yo, PKM. PKM don't play, dog.
PKM, Painkiller Marina. So who are some guys you want to call out at 135?
Everyone that's willing to lay down in front of me.
Okay.
So everybody that I'm going to face. I don't care who I want to fight. Anybody that wants to fight me, I'm willing to fight. I just want to get back to the octagon and get another win so I can secure all my UFC status and sure I still have a job.
Okay, so let's go on the rankings. So what about Brian Caraway? Is he 135?
You know what I mean? Can we beat up Misha Tate's little, like,
oh,
laptop?
My God, please do it.
Yeah, wait.
Let's call him out because everybody who he has called, who he's been called out by, he's run. Like, he's avoided
so
many fights.
Wait, what did you...
Let me not call him out because he's not...
I know, let's do reverse psychology. Let's invite him to the show.
Wait, so Dawson, what did you call him? Misha Tate's what?
Lapdog.
Lapdog.
I heard it loud and clear.
Lapdog. Okay, so...
Lassie.
Lassie. All right, so... All right, so let's go through the rankings right now. So you versus Dominic Cruz. It's going to be Cruz versus Tillishaw. Who do you like, by the way? TJ or Dominic Cruz?
I like Dominic Cruz, but I want TJ to win because I want to beat up TJ for the title.
All right, okay.
Get some.
What about you versus Barao?
Hello?
Yeah, you versus Barao?
Oh, I can take out Barao. If TJ did it twice, I can definitely do it once.
What about Rao?
Yeah, I can beat it Barao.
Dang, that's going to be a good fight.
If TJ did it twice, I can definitely do it once.
I want to see that.
But we want to see Dawson versus Barao?
Oh, fuck yeah. That'll be a good fight.
Listen, John, you're the best. I love you. Thanks for coming on the show, man. You're one of my favorite people. I can't wait to see you soon, man. All right, that was John Dodson. He's in a well somewhere.
He's in a ditch.
That interview was...
He's in a glass case of emotion.
That interview was brought to you by D-Cypher. D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher. They are a lifestyle firm dedicated to make your life better. They will negotiate. A lot goes into negotiations, and they'll help you with mediations, contract evaluations, salary negotiations, car sales negotiations, politicians in international conflict negotiations, mergers, and real estate.
I wish you would pronounce negotiations.
So thank you. Thanks, Marina. Call them up right now, di-cypher.com. Tip a fighter. Fighters are underpaid. Beyond underpaid.
And underappreciated.
Underappreciated.
So underappreciated.
I forgot my life
and
was...
underloved.
Underloved.
And underfought.
Underfought.
And they're wearing underwear. Okay, so go to tipafighter.com. Throw these guys some money. Fighters join Tip a Fighter. Also, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. The best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Sign collectibles from the WWF, UFC, baseball, football, movies, and everything else in between. All right. Now, something that happened recently is JoJo got injured. Badass, bad mofo JoJo. So now Paige VanZant is going to fight, what's her name? Pat Barrett. Rose Namajunas. Rose Namajunas versus Paige VanZant. You don't know who they are?
I know who Paige VanZant is.
All right, Rose is the girl that won the Ultimate Fighter. No, she didn't win. She lost to Carla Esparza in the finals.
She's Pat Barrett's girlfriend, who's in the UFC.
Okay.
She's this little chick.
I know who you're talking about
now. They call her Thug Rose.
Is she kind of cute?
She is very cute.
She's actually cute? Very pretty.
Okay,
very,
yeah, very pretty. I know who you're talking about.
She
okay.
does these crazy flying triangles. Yeah. And she's fun to watch.
I want to see that for the visual effects alone.
Oh, just because they're
just because
hot?
They're both hot, yeah.
Yeah, the loser of this fight is my fleshlight. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke, people. So no, it's going to be an amazing fight. First of all, best look to probably the two hottest girls ever fight each other.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you
other
know,
than
I've
Misha
seen a lot.
Versus Rhonda, those are two attractive yeah. girls.
Obviously, no, I mean,
right?
there's times that there's been, you know, two cute girls fighting, but this is one of the times where it's like us guys can get into it for more than just the fighting of it. You know
no,
what I mean?
I'm in it for the fighting, Bubba.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
of course,
you and Greg Wilson could be in it for other. No.
Well, I'm
Man,
going to watch
you
it.
You just got put on the other side of the fence there, pal.
you see how quickly
see
he
how
waffles? You see how quickly he waffles?
And you're supposed
waffles?
To be considered like best
top five.
Friends and shit?
No,
top
he is
five.
One of my
that's
top five.
This dude is a coin. You flip it.
Don't try to turn Bubba against me. That's not what happened. Okay.
I don't have to turn him against anything.
You turned he's yourself.
Been, he's been facing that way for as long as I can remember.
That's not even close. I am on Team Bubba for life. You weren't here. All you weren't right. here during the press conference versus Bubba versus Parsons.
Yeah.
The guy he's fighting.
It was yeah. awesome. It was good but time. No, you know, I think that this fight should be entertaining for more than just the fight purposes.
Oh, absolutely. No, just two beautiful girls fighting. But right. who do you think wins this fight?
I really fucking hope Rose wins.
Why is that?
Because she was just mentally, like, not in her, like, her last fight, she looked amazing.
Against Angela Hill?
Holy shit, she looked amazing, right? But in the fights before that, she just mentally was not in a place where, you know, she could thrive. You know, when you're
The so, Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, everything just really fucked with her. And I had the pleasure of actually getting to know her. And she's a very, very positive human being. And
yeah, she's cool as shit.
I really fucking hope she wins this fight. I think it'll be a good lesson for VanZant. I think it'll... I hope she keeps it technical and she doesn't get sloppy. I think if she fights how she's fought, like... a lot of her fights in Invicta, she'll be fine.
It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a... I mean, Invicta, though, also, Paige VanZant lost to Tisha Torres. I mean, she got lit up by Tisha Torres. I think it's a good fight. I don't know who wins this fight. I would say, you know, Rose has better jiu-jitsu, and she was a black belt in karate at, like, age 10, which, by the way, they got to stop with these karate black belts at age 10. I'm sorry. There was a kid on my wrestling team who was like, yeah, I was a black belt when I was 7. And I'm like, it just demoralizes what black belts are. You can't give people black belts at age 7, 8, 9, 10. Right. I mean, maybe if a kid's a huge prodigy, but anyway. I don't know. I think Paige VanZant has more weapons to this fight. I think she's got more weapons. And No. I mean, Rose. I think Thug Rose has more weapons and will beat Paige. I think Paige is a very attractive girl and seems to be, you know, maybe if she wasn't as attractive as she is, the fights that she won, like, she beat that Hawaiian girl but was sort of losing that fight against a Hawaiian girl. Who was that Kaylin Curran?
Yeah.
She beat up Felice.
And Kaylin is another chick that, like, is a VanZant. She just needs a little bit more...
Experience,
and just needs a little bit more work.
And then Paige, her last fight against Alex Chambers, she won. But I don't. Alex sort of got lucky against Kaylin Curran. And then her fight against Felice Herrig, she looked great. But Felice mentally was not there in that fight. Felice, by the way, booked the lead in a new movie called Cold. So congratulations to Felice Herrig.
Woo, acting now.
I like Felice Herrig a lot. She's a cool chick.
Like a lot.
A lot. Just I wouldn't say a lot, a lot. A lot. No, was... actually, a lot. I like her a lot, a lot.
That was very businessy of you.
I like her. I think she's. I think she's cool. I like her. Now, Chris Weidman announced that he's voting for Trump.
Stop it.
Yes, he's voting for Trump. Fuck.
There goes the Reebok deal.
No, really?
I'm just kidding.
Now, look, I like Donald Trump as an entertainer. He's against gay marriage. He's pro-life, which he doesn't believe in climate change and global warming, and his immigration policy seems kind of ludicrous. So I don't know how you could be pro-Trump. I mean, I guess on a business sense, sure, but put him in, like, as a business, there are business jobs you could have in the government. But as the president, I can't get behind those social issues. Mm. Who are you voting for, Bubba?
I don't know who I'm voting for. I don't think that I'm actually going to vote this time.
Me too.
I voted the last two times.
For Obama?
For the only two times that I've ever voted.
Oh, come on!
But, you know, I didn't see anybody that, you know, really is going to change the world for me. So, you know, I'm going to keep the politics to the left.
I'm just going to pull for Hillary.
But really? Why?
They're just going to pull for the girl.
Just because she's a girl?
Yeah.
Carly Farina is a girl, too.
That's pretty much what it's down to. It's gender.
No, Carly Farina is a girl also.
Well, she's more of a woman.
Who's more of a woman?
Hillary.
Because you... why?
I don't know.
Because she's been through some stuff. I don't know.
She does. She has been through some shit.
Oh, come on. So has Carly Farina.
I'm completely uneducated on what's going on in politics, so I'm probably the worst person to talk about.
Right. Well, at least you're honest about that. Now, Bubba, the only time you ever voted was because the guy was black?
Well, a little bit, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Come on,
man. But I did vote twice. I did vote twice.
Because he ran twice.
Okay, so that's beside the point, you know. But the first time was just like, you know, it was, what am I, 27? It's been 8 years since he's been in office. So
has your life changed for the better?
No, not at all. Not even in the slightest. But that's not the point. I was a part of history. And that's what matters.
Come on. All right, listen. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I actually, Chris Christie, I agree with some of the things he says until he wants to take away all the weed dispensaries. So he's
out. Whoa, why would you ever do that?
He's out.
The healing of the nations? Really?
Donald Trump says we need more guns. He said it would be safer if everyone had a gun. I disagree with that. I think we need less guns and especially more.
More bow and arrows.
Yes, bow and arrows, I'd be behind.
Yes.
Definitely bow and arrows. I might have to go for Bernie. Even though he does have some socialist tendencies.
Whatever happened to Jen?
See, that's the thing is, like, you're over here getting anxiety about this. You're like forcing yourself to go into a group or vote for someone. I'm just like, I'm just not gonna fucking vote for anybody.
But a non-vote.
But I've heard so many things about, you know, us picking our candidates and then actually voting for them, and then there's people on the other side of that vote that are just like, oh yeah, that's a great suggestion. Let's put this guy in anyway.
You mean the Electoral College?
Yeah, whatever. I just heard so many different things about the actual process in which it is.
You don't trust the legal system? The justice system?
Bro, I'm black. Come on, let's be serious.
Black people just don't trust things?
Let's be serious. This isn't set up for us. All right?
Come on.
Come on about it. I'm dead ass serious. Like, I'm joking. I'm half joking, but the other half is
You're
serious.
You're saying that the world's not set up for black... America's not set up for black people?
America's system is not set up for black people, no.
There's a lot of truth to that statement, but we have to change that. So wouldn't you want to elect someone who actually speaks to helping the problem?
If people out there could see my face, I got that. Fuck, are you talking about looking at this? That's what I got. I got that sideways smile that Kermit kind of has. No.
I call it Obama's polite face.
Yes.
Where he's just like...
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of face I got. Nothing in my vote for any of the candidates is going to change much of what we've already been through. What we have as a society has been changed through the system that we live in now. Right now, it's already too jacked up for them to be like, oh, yeah, vote for me and I can fix it.
Yeah, it's like global warming. It's like global warming. We're already fucked.
We're not already fucked. There are things you can do. Okay.
Yeah. No. You're not driving a Prius. I'm not driving. Who is in here is driving a Prius? Oh, fuck. God damn it, dude.
Andrew was driving
what
a Prius.
What the fuck?
And Bubba, you're a guy, okay? You're fighting on a huge stage on television.
Absolutely.
You're a guy that came from nothing.
Absolutely.
You won a wrestling national champion. You have a business set up. You have a family.
Right.
You have a kid. I mean, you're a guy who
and
is.
I, and the
you
thing
are
about
a guy.
It is, I and you said all those things, and that's correct. But I'm also a guy who plans to have three beautiful sons, in a sense. And in today's government, one out of three of my kids, no matter what, are going to jail.
That's not true.
That is a true.
One of your three kids is not going to jail.
That's a true statement.
You're saying one out of three black kids go to jail?
One out of three black kids go to jail.
I don't think that's a true statement.
That is a fact.
I do not believe
that. It's a fact.
That is a fact.
One out of three black kids are in jail?
One out of three black kids go to jail. One out of 17 white men go to jail.
Andrew says that's true. I don't believe that one out of 33% of black people are in jail.
Bro, there's more people in jail now that are black than there was in slavery.
I read that somewhere.
Oh, these are not just Google told me
there's
these
more
are
people.
Facts.
There's more people in general.
These are facts that I'm telling you.
No, I actually read that somewhere, and I'm not sure where.
There's more people in America in general, but I do not believe that one out of three black people is in jail.
Well,
there's no way.
Hey, where's the MMA roasted stat guy?
Okay,
get on this.
Percentage of black people.
I watched
jail.
A documentary.
And I
on
will
this.
Fill
what
your
documentary?
Ears with
it was
white
the H.
Noise.
It was the HBO Vice just not too long ago.
Percentage of black people in jail.
One out of three black kids go to jail.
Percentage.
Man, those couches look comfy.
Black people in jail. There's no way that's true.
How's that one?
That is true.
That can't
over there.
Be. White people of color make up 30% of the population. I don't know. It doesn't.
White
statistics.
People of color.
Oh my God! Look, there's like a fist right. Yeah.
It says art.
You
on
should
it.
Put that right there. While you say it.
I don't know. I don't think that's true.
I'm not telling you an opinion.
Let's tell me the percentage of black people in jail.
Not,
I don't think
I'm
it's one out of three.
I'm not telling you.
I
an opinion.
Don't think it's one out of three.
I'm not
it's
telling you.
It's definitely one
opinion.
Out of three.
How do you know?
Because I read it somewhere.
Where?
Somewhere.
So not, where did you read this?
I'm
not
telling
giving
you
an
somewhere.
Opinion, Adam. I'm giving
somewhere
you a fact.
Somewhere out there.
What is this? One out of three black men can expect to go to prison in their lifetime. Wow, that's crazy. What is this from? AmericanProgress.com? Wow, that's... Well, hopefully not your kids.
Well, let's change that subject. Well, vote out. Get out there and vote. And maybe it's one out of 12.
I don't think the system is set up for you to fail. And I think that you should change the system.
Whoa. No.
Oh, really? That's
I,
you?
And I think
you,
the latter
you,
part.
You and who else?
I don't think. I think everyone should change the system.
I think the latter part of your comment makes sense. The first part is it's proven statistically every day throughout society that the first part of your comment is absolutely incorrect.
That the system set up for you to fail.
Yes.
The whole
system. About it. Think about this, right? So one out of three, and like, let's say, and let's just make it real quick. One out of three black men go to jail. One out of 17 white men go to jail. But for the same crimes, they give black guys more time. Okay, and these are facts, right? These are facts. These are not just my opinion because I'm black. They give black people more time. Not only do that, they destroy the family home because then they take out the men in the group. Mm-hmm. But then they're already impoverished areas, so the black kids don't have black fathers to teach them how to be regular, good black men. So they start getting treated.
But who are you blaming these one out of three black kids are going to jail?
The society that
who,
we live
so it's
in.
It's society's fault they're going to jail. It's not the actual...
It's the fact that we have these laws that say, oh, you know, 100 grams of coke, you know, you're going to do the same times of 1 gram of crack. You know what I'm saying? Those type of laws are the reasons why...
But who are you blaming for the crime?
I'm blaming our government for having laws that set up...
It's not just... eventually, you got to blame the people for doing the crime.
Yeah, you do blame that. Yeah, that's a given. People who are doing time in jail have to take up for the things that they've done. But if you put them in a maze of which the only route you have to take... are those routes that lead you to jail, then the person who created that maze is to blame. Not only is it the people who went out
How many people
routes,
do you think the only route that they could take is to go to jail?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the society that a lot of people live in, and I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about people who live in impoverished areas, the crime rates up, the things that are going around are up because of where they live at, because of society and the things that they know. It's like they go to jail, they come out of jail, then you got to pay the people, you got to pay jail for, you know, you got to pay the state of Pennsylvania. You go to jail in Pennsylvania, you got to pay the state of Pennsylvania for the time you spend. Sometimes you got to play for your public defender, things like that. And then if you don't pay those people, you go back to jail. That is a system that is set up to fail. Once you leave jail, they give you $40.
You know, because you can spend 15 years in jail. That you can spend 15 years in jail, and they let you go, and they give you $40.
Unless you work inside and you can save up some money,
you can make a trade. Yeah, you can get a trade. But I'm saying,
but that's still only like $200.
Think about this: only 50% of the people who leave jail actually don't come back. That means you spent all this millions and billions of dollars to put people in jail when only half of that actually works. It's called a correction facility when they're only correcting half of the people.
Yeah, but if you look at, but if you go into the with an attitude of like, look, one out of three, my kids are set up. I have three black kids. One out of three, you're probably going to go to jail based on statistics. Then you're already going in there with an attitude of like, well, my kids are fucked anyway. The whole system is fucked. Everything's fucked. And that in itself is you create a victim society of victims blaming other people for your problems.
No. He's just making himself aware that that is going to be a very likely possibility.
No,
like it's not about having an attitude. Like he's clearly trying to create opportunities.
I don't play the victim game.
No. He's not. He's clearly playing the I'm trying to create opportunities game for my children by fighting and creating all these opportunities for myself.
Right.
And it's not about the attitude. It's about
and this
that whole study, you can't control that.
Right. That's a fact. These are not things that may or may, I mean, obviously one out of my three kids, obviously they're going to be wrestling and I'm going to be spanking that ass. So they won't be going to jail and things like that. But it goes back to our original, who are you voting for? I'm not voting for anybody until I can understand that this society is built evenly on a system that actually might work for the people I vote for.
I think Bernie Sanders would probably be your the guy you'd vote for.
Well, I ain't voting for none of them, like I said. And even when I voted for Obama, it wasn't because of societal purposes. It would become part of history. But
because you wanted to
Become part of history.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Whether he was black or not. If it was a woman, I probably would have voted as well because I wanted to become part of history.
Right.
I like seeing these events. I like watching the World Series, not because I like baseball or even know who's playing, because I got to say, in 2015, I watched the World Series and I saw that part of history become it. But all of what I was just saying about the statistics and the numbers, it's just such on a landslide. So you take a black kid to prison or to jail for a wrong accused crime, and you know, no one's going to say anything about it. They're not going to get their lawyers on the phone and help this kid out. They're going to put him in jail. You do the same thing in the suburbs where, you know, a judge's son is doing that. And then the judge is going to call the police officer, and the police officer is going to have his people call him, and you know they're going to get
that. Yeah, there are a lot of things wrong.
This kid's going to spend.
You're absolutely right. There are a lot of
It's lopsided, is what I'm saying.
It is lopsided in a lot of areas, but I think saying I'm going to do nothing until this is fixed isn't a solution.
No,
I understand
it's not.
I understand your.
But it is the reason why I'm not going to vote.
But I understand it. I can.
But do you really understand?
Yes, I really understand, Marina. Yes, I do. I know. I'm not a fighter like you. I get it.
But no, okay, I'm happy to talk politics and numbers and stuff like that because there's something a little bit that I know of. But not only do I live it, I see it. And not only do I see it, I react to it. You know what I mean? Those are things that, you know, create a reaction from people of color or people of different ethnicities, where it's not just, you know, everyday hunky gory. I love palm trees and sand. You know, these are real things that happen to my community and communities like mine.
Right. Well, that's good. It's good, and you give back to your community.
Damn
and
right.
You do.
Teaching all them little white kids.
You do. You have to come back and coach. That by the way, that kid who got sand on his head came back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He had to get a little break.
His father was very proud of him.
Oh nice.
His father's white, by the way.
Weird.
It was a little weird. He was like, "This is my son," and I was like,
"Because he's definitely
I took a
115 pound black kid."
Yes. And then his father's this really tall white guy, and I was like, "This is your son." But I told him that you had asked about him, and he was thrilled that this Division I now champion had asked about his son.
Well, only because he got slammed.
On his head. First day of practice, he got slammed.
Yeah.
Team's looking better, though. My team is looking better. We had Vince Pichel come in, help with the kids. And we got one kid. This kid, Max, is like, he's really good. And to the point where I want to take him around the state to see how
different tournaments.
Yeah, but it's a pain in the ass, man. Like, there's a Saturday tournament, 2 weeks, right? And I'm going to be doing comedy in San Diego, and the tournament's in San Pedro on a Saturday, And I'm like, Friday I'm in San Diego. Do I want to drive 2 hours back for the tournament and then 2 hours back to San Diego?
Just
do
to
a
see
show?
If the kid is not that good or not.
There's like 5 or 6 kids, yeah. You know? But there's another coach that can do it.
Priorities.
Well, I have a lot of priorities. Priorities to myself as well. To be funny on stage. That's number one priority.
Maybe
but
you
also
need
to
slim
kids.
Those things down.
No.
By numbers.
Nah. Nope.
Well, then you're just going to be stuck in purgatory trying to make decisions all the time.
In the glass box of emotions.
Exactly.
In the glass box of emotions. What is that from?
Whatever she said earlier.
Glass box of emotion. Yeah. Anchorman.
Oh, I have not. I haven't seen it in a long time. I saw Anchorman once. Everyone, like, they quote Anchorman. But I'm not.
I really haven't seen Anchorman either.
God damn it.
I've seen it. I just don't quote it. I don't quote it. So so what are you doing this weekend, Marina?
Resting.
We're filming our TV show tomorrow.
Yeah, we're doing that.
Thank you. You look thrilled.
I'm so excited.
I know. Tomorrow on the show, are you going to be out of it, like on 6 painkillers?
Probably. It makes for better.
Probably like 4 or 5. I don't have any other options. I'm in a lot of fucking pain. So.
Now, is your boyfriend giving you a bath at least?
I give myself a bath, but he joins me.
Really? In the bath?
Not like, in the bath.
Someone say bath time.
But you guys take showers together?
Yeah.
Nice. It's always hard to have sex in a shower, you know? Cause like,
why?
Well, just like position wise. Like, I don't know.
Adam's dick doesn't
you
fit.
You just gotta get it done.
You just gotta get it done?
Adam's dick doesn't fit in his shower.
It's
even
too big.
With all the lubrication? Oh man!
You lube it up in the shower?
No, we don't lube it up, but you got the water and like.
There's lubrication there.
Yeah,
I know. So I'm
can't
just
make
saying,
it work.
No, I make it work. Okay. Trust me, I make it work. I'm just saying that she has to put like a foot up on the soap holder, you know, and then you don't want that to fall, and then you have to get back and kind of thrust up and down.
It's definitely dangerous.
It is dangerous, but it has to be done.
But it's a necessary.
Do you still
evil.
Bang your wife in the shower?
Yeah.
Now she knows you're cutting weight. Does she she help you like when she gives you a BJ, does that take like a quarter of a pound out?
30 days out, I don't do that, bro.
No BJs.
No nothing.
Wow. Nothing.
30 days out.
Now do you stop giving BJs to get out of your fight or no?
What?
I know he stops getting BJs 30 days out. Do you stop?
What does that have to affect me?
I don't know. I just
that's
to,
what
I,
he's.
I
that's guys, what he's asking.
You guys are both fighters. I thought maybe.
Do you stop?
The female body is completely different. Let's
I'm building and storing testosterone for my fight.
Okay.
Therefore,
nice.
I don't create have more testosterone give. By getting off.
Okay. Wow. That's
yes.
I know that Jordan has won a lot of his fights via guillotine, right? Like he's good at that choke.
He looks so entertained.
A lot of his fights via guillotine. You have a great double leg, but the one Achilles heel of a wrestler is to leave his neck out.
I have practiced the routine of being choked and getting out. So I'm quite prepared. In fact, I hope he goes for a guillotine after I double his ass through the cage.
Okay.
I hope we're on top of the mic stand with
oh
Jimmy
God.
Smith.
He's gonna dice
in a
his
guillotine.
Ass.
I'm gonna dice this dude.
He's
out.
Gonna dice.
It's what does that mean? Dice his ass.
He's gonna cut him up. The fucking cage and it's cube. He's gonna dice him.
Is that an actual term? Dice his ass.
Yeah.
Today it is.
There was a Tank
TKM
Abbott
just
fight.
Made it up.
What a Tank Abbott fight. So we tried to throw the guy over the cage in the early UFC. Yeah.
I remember that.
Did
they penalize you for that?
What?
Did they penalize you
for that? Well, no. He couldn't get him over. But I asked Tito Ortiz.
I'm pretty sure.
Tito was his training partner. Yeah. And I said, Tito, why did Tank try to throw the guy over the cage? And he said that somebody in practice was like, I bet you can't throw the guy over a cage. He's like, fucking watch me. And it was a bet they made in practice. Yeah. And that's
well,
how you.
If it's not a penalty, I'm definitely going to try it.
You're going to try to throw him out of the cage?
Yeah.
All right.
Why not? You just brought it to my attention. I figure if it's not a penalty and I'm beating his ass good enough, I pick him up, I slam him, I pick him up, and I try to launch him over the cage.
Nice.
Tip a fighter, holla at me.
So, that is our show today. Marina, where can people find you?
Marina Shafir everywhere.
All right, Bubba.
In the gym is where you can find me pumping iron, getting ready.
No, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thank you.
Tip a fighter.
American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. The best sports, celebrity memorabilia, and events. By the way, Bubba, sponsors out there. Bubba needs people to sponsor him. So you want to see your stuff
holla
on.
At me.
You want to sponsor a national champion wrestler, a great guy. you can sponsor them. To go to also Tip a Fighter, at Tip a Fighter. Fighters are underpaid, and we're making a difference. And D-Cypher. D-Cypher, D-I-C-Y-P-H-E-R. They consult product development, mergers and acquisitions, social media campaigns, student advising, contract review, celebrity speaker advice, speaking engagement. They help porn stars. They help student advising. They talk to people in need of a friend. So just call them up.
Call them I do.
I call them all the time.
He uses this as code Dodgeball.
Absolutely. Use the code Dodgeball for 10% off. Thank you for listening. Next week, we have Michael Venom Page, MVP, on the podcast, as well as Alan Juban coming in here. Thank you so much. Thank everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.